Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Happy 420. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the Washington Post's Shannon Lau.
Hey, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. Woo!
Very happy to have you, Shannon. Shannon, for people who don't know, who is Shannon Lau?
Oh, that's a good question. Deep question. Yeah.
existential this morning.
I know. I'm a video games journalist for the Washington Post, and kind of surprising to some people that the Washington Post does cover video games. So I've been doing a lot of like Activision Blizzard reporting over the past few months. And who else am I? I mean, I just like, I guess a lot of people have been asking, like, are you a gamer? So I definitely could say, yes, I'm a gamer. And I was
play video games every now and then.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I've heard of them. I was just in San Francisco and hung out with Blessing at the Game Developers Conference there. So yeah.
And I originally met you at the Game Awards, met you again at GDC, and like I want to hear about how your GDC went, because for me it was my first GDC, because GDC hasn't been around for the last few years because of the pandemic. And so going to GDC this year for the first time, it was this cool thing of, this is one of the first events I'm actually going to as part of Kinda Funny, right? Like after Game Awards, and it is me, you know, hanging out with people, hanging out with devs, hanging out with folks on the media side, and actually getting to meet folks once again, and actually like interface with the people whose articles I reference all the time on this show. Because on Kinda Funny Games Daily, right, like we have anywhere from 5 to 8 news stories a day. And I'm saying all these names. I'm referencing like Shannon Lau or Gene Park or Jonathan Dornbush, or I guess Jonathan Dornbush doesn't do much like writing, but like usually the IGN folks, GameSpot folks, right? Like I'm saying all these names, but I'm not necessarily meeting these people in real life. So GDC was one of those cool moments where, well, actually Game Awards was one of those cool moments where I like met you and I was like, oh, I've seen you around. Like I know your name because I've seen your name on Washington Post articles. And then GDC, we actually got to hang out. And during that time, I was like, oh, I got to get you on KFGD because you seem like a really cool person in the games industry. And so for you, how was your GDC?
Yeah, thank you. No, I really appreciate that. And also, I remember at the Game Awards, you had this really awesome suit. So, like, nobody could miss you. Like, you could definitely see you from a mile away.
That's a Yousef McGeed original. He's my fashion designer. Wow. Shout out to Yousef McGeed.
Nice. Okay, cool. My GDC was honestly not great. I don't know if you like noticed this, but like, there was like a swarm of COVID, basically COVID cases. And then at the end of it, like, I don't know how I got COVID, but somebody at GDC had it. And there's even like one person who went to GDC and like didn't tell anyone that they tested positive and then started walking around. So yeah, that part sucked, but it was great meeting you and going to all these like different events to, you know, like you said, like meet people who, it was also my first GDC and I hadn't seen like people's faces and put names to their faces. So that was like a new experience for me. And just like, I got to go to one panel and the rest of the time it was like breaking news every day for Activision Blizzard. So that was what I was focusing on. And I just did a interview with Domi Shi from like Turning Red. She was the director for that. And that was like an interview I did during GDC. So it was just really
packed. Was she at GDC?
No, she wasn't. She was in, I think, LA at the time. And I was like, oh, I'll call. Or I think maybe San Francisco. But either way, she was like not available to meet me, but I could like call in. So I did a Zoom call with her.
Gotcha. Can I ask, what purpose does GDC serve for you? Because I know GDC, for people who don't know, right, it's the Game Developers Conference, happens once a year. And it's usually aimed toward game developers to go to panels to like get knowledge about development, right? Different ideas of like whether you're in programming, whether you're in art, whether you're in any sort of like faction of game development. Usually there's going to be stuff for you, and it's also a good place to network. It's a good place to like check out the show floor, see what other people are working on, right? It's that kind of event. I think there we also got like Google Stadia was announced at GDC. I think PlayStation did stuff at GDC previously, recently. Usually it is aimed toward game developers. And I know for me, I went mainly as a, okay, let me meet people. Let me network a little bit. Let me get a taste of like who's in the industry, right? And like actually meet people face to face because I talk about their shit all the time. For you, like going there, being part of Washington Post, being a reporter, what is the purpose that GDC serves for you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think going into it, we knew that there wouldn't be that much news. So we were like, okay, we're going here to like meet people. I got to see like my old friends from Polygon, for instance, like other people from IGN. And then also I was trying to meet, you know, certain sources that I had talked to maybe like over the internet for 2 years at this point, or a year at least. And like they knew me and knew my work, but hadn't met me face to face. So I actually did a bunch of these like, you know, anonymous source meetings where like I know who they are, but like the reader doesn't know who they are. And then we just like hid behind some like corner hallway and we're like, hopefully nobody can see that I'm talking to you. And I was like, I'm very conspicuous. Like people kept messaging me like, oh, I see you. I saw you earlier today, like the purple hair, like you walked by. And I was like, oh no, I don't know how many people have like secretly spied on me throughout this whole entire week. But yeah, basically it was just to really meet a lot of people and go to these parties. And like, I would turn around and see like a vice president of PlayStation or of TikTok. And like, oh, like this person maybe like, weeks down the line, I can like interview for something. So it was like good for those purposes.
Yeah. It's like setting up opportunities that could pay off in the future.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, because like I only got to go to like one Roblox panel and like talk to the Roblox VP. We didn't even do anything with that interview. So most of the time it was just like to meet everyone.
Nice. And so for you, right, you work at Washington Post. You mentioned that you do a lot of reporting. You've done reports about Activision Blizzard, other similar topics. Is that your main role? Are you a reporter? Do you break news?
Yeah. I would say that I'm mainly a reporter focused on like investigative features, especially with the entire Activision Blizzard story. Starting like last August, I put out a feature with like over 17 people that across the company who had experienced, you know, instances of sexual harassment or had witnessed that from other people. And so that story came out. And afterwards, I kept talking to more people at that company. And so at this point, I have like dozens of sources within that company. And oftentimes they're like, oh, I just had a meeting with management and now they're changing this, they're restructuring our whole company. So I've been breaking news along those lines of like, oh, the employees are very dissatisfied, they're about to walk out. And they've walked out like three times at this point, you know, over this, they want the CEO Bobby Kotick to step down and other things like that. They're just very unhappy. So most of the time I'm focused on like company culture and what's going on within those companies. But you've also seen me like write something like last year I did a story about like Animal Crossing and like people who play 400 hours of Animal Crossing. So you'll see me do all kinds of stories.
Nice. What is that like to be somebody who is an investigative reporter? Because, you know, again, like I referenced many, many stories in the show, right? And like a lot of them are, hey, there's an update on Sonic Origins, or hey, there's, and this is me like foreshadowing the show today, right? Like, hey, there's Last of Us news, right? But then every now and then it is, hey, this is what's going down at Activision Blizzard. This is what's going down at this company. Like somebody did the work, like Jason Schreier, somebody along those lines, Shannon Lau did the work and like put out one of those stories for you. When you were building up to working at a Washington Post and being a games reporter, in your mind, did you know that you wanted to do investigative stuff? Did you know you wanted to do work about company culture? Or was it a thing of, I just want to write about video games and this is where you found your strength to be? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I started off as a journalist like when I was 15. So I've been doing this for years outside of like games journalism. But I only found my way towards video games like around 2019, because at that point I started at CNN and they were like, oh, you can't cover China anymore. You've been covering like China internet culture. We're actually based in New York. So it's kind of weird for you to be writing about a different country when you're not traveling over there. So they're like, what about video games? And like also E3 is happening like next week, you want to go? And so I said, yeah, I definitely want to fly out there. And so I love like video games anyway. So that was like a natural thing for me. And then like in terms of like investigative journalism, like you're asking, like I've been doing that for years now. And then in terms of like getting the sources that I needed to like make that happen within the video games industry, that's like, I think just like over time, like building trust among like people in the industry. And then they start to kind of see me as somebody that they can talk to when they have a problem with their company, or they want to reveal something that they think that it needs more attention. So like just from there, that's how I kind of got my start into like investigating. And I think that games journalism itself like could use more like investigative journalists like me or like Jason Schreier, for instance. I've like been looking up to, you know, a lot of the work from Jason and also like other folks over like the past few years, just like big reports about, you know, what is like the future of esports, or like what is happening at you know, with Anthem and Frostbite. So I always like look to those for inspiration when I was like working on my stories. And I think there's just like so many different video game companies, and a lot of them are trying to unionize, and many people are unhappy. So those are all stories that we just don't have enough people to tell. So it's good to like at least on my end, like try my best to get as many covered as possible.
Nice. We're going to talk about a little bit about that stuff today. But before we get into the show proper, I do have one more question for you. What is your favorite game of all time?
That's a tough question. I usually say Persona 5. Like, that was the game that really grabbed me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay, I hear some.
You're among friends.
Yeah, yeah, that's a game that like I could not put down, and I was still like working for The Verge at the time, so I was like, I had a day job, but I would just come back home and like immediately like polish off 10 more hours, and like in the course of like 3 days finish the game. And I was like, okay, now it's time for New Game Plus. I have to I have to date Anne now. I dated Makoto, and I got to date Anne. And then I'm playing Persona 5 Strikers as well. So like, yeah, they're all just the entire franchise.
I got to get to Persona 5 Strikers. Right now is what I call backlog season, and yeah. I keep piling on games that aren't like backlog games. Like I've been playing, I started playing 13 Sentinels again, which is a backlog game for me, and so I've been doing that. But then earlier today we did our reaction stream to the 6-1 indie mini indie game showcase for PAX East, and they did like a trailer for Anno Mutationum, and I was like, ah, fuck, man, I might need to play this game. And that's not an old game. That game came out like I think a few weeks ago. But yeah, no, like Persona 5 Strikers has been in my backlog, and I got to get back around to it. But that'll happen someday. Maybe not anytime soon, but someday, because Barrett does say it's great. But
the music especially, bless. You'd love it.
I know. And like when I started it, they had like remixes to songs that were from Persona 5 original. And immediately I was like, oh, this is about to be fire. But then I ran out of time.
Oh, no. Well, maybe we get to it at one point. Like, yeah, the music is bringing me back to, like, Persona 5. I'm getting flashbacks, like, really enjoying it. And also cooking. I love cooking inside games. So, yeah, I get to do a lot of that.
Well, enough about Persona 5. Let's talk about today's stories, which include more possible Uncharted games from Naughty Dog, Last of Us Remake being 2022, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcasts or services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, I'm excited to announce that Janet and I will be hosting the Skybound Games PAX East Showcase tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific on the PAX Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PAX East. There will be exclusive looks at Escape Academy and WrestleQuest, and a brand new documentary celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Walking Dead game's first season. Greg and Gary will also appear in that, so check it out and support the team. Very excited about that happening tomorrow. And then, in case you missed it, speaking of showcases, we reacted to a fun indie showcase by our friends at 6-1 Indie. That's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and it's worth checking out if you want to discover some cool indie games. Like I said, I talked about Anno Mutationum, but there are a group of other games that seem really cool as well, so definitely check that one out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, and Anonymous. Today are brought to you by Credit Karma, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, Europa Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with a very interesting number one, Naughty Dog recruiter has seemingly hinted at plans for more Uncharted games. I'm pulling from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. A newly appointed recruiter at Naughty Dog has seemingly hinted that Sony is planning future Uncharted releases. On Tuesday, Christina Marie Drake McBrearty announced on LinkedIn that she had joined the studio this month as a primary recruiter. In her post, McBrearty said she is, quote, scouting for talent at every level, and it's, quote, special being able to be building future teams for not only new titles, but for the legacy of Uncharted, end quote. Naughty Dog developer, or sorry, Naughty Dog developed the Uncharted franchise and all Naughty Dog's core series entries have been remastered. Earlier this year, two Naughty Dog developers suggested that the studio remains open to the possibility of making more Uncharted games. Ahead of Legacy of Thieves Collection's release in January, GamesRadar asked Lost Legacy creative director Sean Eskig and game director Kurt Margano whether Naughty Dog could develop a new Uncharted game at some point. Quote, "I think we can say for certain that we can never say never," said Margano, who also served as lead cinematic animator on Uncharted 4. Quote, "Yeah, Uncharted is a franchise we love, that the studio loves, I love, and Uncharted 4 co-lead designer Kurt loves," he added. Quote, "It's a world we want to see more of, so I can certainly say that," end quote. Days Gone director Jeff Ross, who recently joined Tomb Raider studio Crystal Dynamics, said in February that at one point he'd wanted to make an Uncharted game focused solely on young Sully. PlayStation's Visual Arts Service Group also reportedly wanted to remake the first Uncharted game at one point, but the project was apparently deemed to be too expensive and time-consuming. So it switched its attention to a remake of The Last of Us, a more recent release, which would require less additional design work, Bloomberg reported last year. Shannon, where are you at with Uncharted? One, are you an Uncharted fan? Two, do you think we'll see more from Uncharted?
So unfortunately Uncharted is one of those series that I did not pick up. So I did not play the games, but I do know, like, you know, how beloved they are. And I think that, you know, just judging based on, like, you know, looking at video game franchises as a whole, I don't think that they would, like, stop, you know, halfway, like, when it's such a successful franchise and people love it so much, like, love Nathan Drake, why would they not make more? You know, that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. I'm in a similar place where, I mean, I like and adore Uncharted, right? Especially like Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, like, are some of my favorite games on the PS4. I think more Uncharted is inevitable because when you're talking about IP, when you're talking about the bread and butter of PlayStation, right? Like, Uncharted is on that list, right? It is God of War, it is Uncharted, newly, it is Horizon, it is Ghost, right? Like, they have a list of games and IP that just do well for them. And Uncharted is toward the very, very top. Uncharted is also an interesting place of Uncharted 4 coming out, and Uncharted 4 being the natural kind of ending to the Uncharted series, but then it kicking back up again with Lost Legacy, which originally was supposed to be DLC, turned into its own thing, but proved that you can have an Uncharted game that doesn't star Nathan Drake, and it be a game that doesn't disappoint people, right? Like, Uncharted Lost Legacy came out, I think people relatively really enjoyed it. Like, surely people weren't like, oh, it's Uncharted 4, even though I liked it better than Uncharted 4, but for the most part, like, Uncharted Lost Legacy came out, and it was successful, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you have that, but I think you also have the thing of, for a Sony that probably wants more Uncharted, and a Naughty Dog that had that natural ending to Uncharted and probably wants to do more things that aren't just Uncharted than The Last of Us, because they've been doing that for two generations. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Naughty Dog is the studio that is going to make the next Uncharted, right? Like, I wonder if it is a, hey, let's take this, let's give it to somebody else, right? Like, Jeff Ross, mm-hmm. again, like, referenced how they over at Bend were considering the idea of, like, pitching a Uncharted game that was going to be starring Sully, right? Like, you have stuff like that that could make sense if Naughty Dog didn't want to make it. That said, you know, you look at this recruiter who now works at Naughty Dog, and you look at them talking about the future of Uncharted, and it seems like somewhere in there the discussions are happening. Is that anything that surprises you?
No, that's actually really interesting. It's a good point. Like, it's true that, you know, Naughty Dog has been working on this for so many years. They must be, like, very tired. I mean, it's like, you know, get, like, game developer fatigue for, like, working on the same series over years. And then at the same time, like, Sony is, you know, acquiring, you know, Bungie, and, like, also making moves across the industry. Like, all these gaming companies, we have to watch out for who are they going to buy next. And then it's possible that in this, like, process, they're also having discussions of, you know, which studio would pitch a new game. And it seems like there was this, like, spinoff for Young Sully, but that never happened. And maybe that could also be an idea picked up by somebody else. So that's definitely really interesting and worth, like, keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and, like, to catch people up, right? Like, there was a rumor years ago that Sony's San Diego studio was working on Uncharted. And to be clear, that is different from Sony San Diego, of course, who makes MLB The Show. Sony's San Diego studio, that story evolved into them being the PlayStation Visual Arts group that Jason Schreier reported on about, like, a year or so ago, right? And so, like, things have kind of, like, gotten mixed up in a very interesting way where there's a rotation going on of IP, and, like, where things are going to land is going to be interesting, because we're also going to talk about The Last of Us. That is going to be story number two, because there is Last of Us news as well, or Last of Us rumors, I should say, as well, right? And, like, there's the question of who's making The Last of Us thing as well. For Uncharted, and for, like, what you mentioned as far as, like, Sony buying studios, Sony acquiring, right? You also have I always get them mixed up. There's Firewalk and there's FireSprite. Firewalk is like the multiplayer studio, and then FireSprite is like the bigger studio that's doing all a bunch of stuff, right? FireSprite, I believe, is working, or at least was rumored to be working on the Twisted Metal thing as well. And it seems like that's a studio where if Sony has a project that they want to get done, they have a lot of people working there. They have a lot of bandwidth. It seems like they're the studio to take stuff like that over. But we're at a place where there's also a lot of unknowns. For you, Shannon, like, is there a thing that Uncharted could do in the future if they brought back Uncharted, whether it be Naughty Dog or whether it be another studio, that would get you in? Like, if it is a, hey, here's some new characters that aren't Nathan Drake, that aren't following up on stuff in the past, is that enough to sell you as somebody who's not necessarily as into Uncharted?
Yeah, I think you like hit the nail on the head for me. Like, it's always been like this kind of like Indiana Jones like kind of setting that wasn't really appealing to me. I didn't really have a reason to jump into the series. And also I was like, well, there aren't any like new Uncharted games right now, so I can just focus on the new releases and try to catch up on those. And like Uncharted is within my backlog. But I think that, yeah, if they focus on like a different character and like make the game more diverse, for sure, like that could definitely attract me. Like, for instance, like I started playing Gears of War 5 when it came out in 2019, just because they like showed a trailer with like Billie Eilish playing her song like Bad Guy, and it was like focused on this new character, and I was like, okay, well, or like it was focused on like a new protagonist compared to like the previous games, and I was like, well, actually this looks kind of cool and like women centric, and then I would play the game for that. And then of course the whole game did not have any Billie Eilish to it, so it was like kind of like a bait switch for me. But
there's no, yeah, Billie Eilish anywhere. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but if Uncharted does that, they could totally get me and other people as well.
Hell yeah. Well, I want to continue talking about Naughty Dog with story number two. A PlayStation animator could be hinting at a Last of Us remake for 2022. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. A PlayStation Studios visual arts animator has teased an unannounced first-party game that they suggest could release this year. In a series of tweets published over the last month, Robert Morrison, a veteran game animator who recently worked on God of War at Sony Santa Monica, claimed that PlayStation has some bangers coming out this year and alluded to an unannounced project he's been working on. The animator claims he is not working on the upcoming God of War sequel, Ragnarok. According to his LinkedIn bio, Morrison currently works for PlayStation Studios Visual Arts, the same studio that is understood to be working on a remake of The Last of Us for PlayStation 5, according to multiple reports. It's previously been reported that the unannounced title could release this year, and Video Games Chronicle has heard from our own sources that the remake is nearing completion. In multiple tweets published in the last few weeks, Morrison has alluded to PlayStation bangers releasing during 2022. In addition, he claimed that he's been working on a title for nearly 5 years that hasn't been shown. However, the animator only rejoined Sony in 2021, so it's not clear if this time frame is in relation to his current project at PlayStation Studios VA. While Sony's first-party lineup for the rest of this year is currently empty, it's been reported for some time that a remake of The Last of Us is in development at Naughty Dog to coincide with the upcoming HBO series. Shannon, I know Uncharted isn't as much your jam. Is Last of Us your jam?
Yeah, I actually played through Last of Us Part 2, and then also like I tried part of Last of Us, the first game. Yeah, definitely. A lot of my friends are like just obsessed, and they have like a model of all the characters on their table. But yeah, so I even have like friends who are not gamers who are like very interested in the Last of Us HBO series, just because like it looks really cool. It's like prestige TV. So I think like there could be a whole wave of new fans coming in for this franchise.
Do you get excited about the idea of the HBO Last of Us series, but then also kind of a Last of Us, not Renaissance, because I feel like a Renaissance implies that something went away, but like Last of Us kind of refresh with a Last of Us remake, maybe coinciding with an HBO series? Is that something that you're into?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I think when I just saw that recently with like Arcane coming out and then League of Legends doing a whole bunch of like new little events at the same time. So I think like there's a lot of cross promotion right now between video games and then TV shows. This would be really cool to see. I don't know where they're going to go with the series at this point, like with where they left off in Last of Us Part 2. It seemed like kind of like a very complete ending. But yeah, I think that like when the TV show comes out, like then you get all these people saying, maybe I'll try this game now. And like that's always exciting to see.
Yeah, for you, like Last of Us remake, is that a thing that excites you in terms of, you know, having played Last of Us 2, I'm having gone back to Last of Us the original, Do you feel like it's time? Do you feel like, and also, do you believe it? Because I read through this article, right? And like they're referencing the animator, right? Robert Morrison here, who is talking about being excited for projects that are coming out soon for PlayStation, right? PlayStation's about to have some bangers. And there's a lot of extrapolation going on in this article in terms of, hey, like he works for the Visual Arts Group. It's been rumored that they're working on Last of Us. Like this guy also likes Last of Us. Like there's a lot of extrapolation going on. And so like even to throw a lot of that out, because I think regardless, you know, the Video Games Chronicle here mentions that our own sources also, this lines up with them as well. And I think there's been rumors for a while that the Last of Us remake is way further along than we'd even think. If that game comes out, let's say later this year or next year, right? Is that something that excites you? And also, do you think that it is going to come out like later this year or next year?
Yeah, that would be really cool. I would definitely jump on playing it, but I don't know. Like, I wonder why they wouldn't just announce it so that you can anticipate it. Why would they just like, why would Sony just like quietly not say anything and like put it out later this year? And also, why is it this like random? I wanted to say, like, why is it this guy just tweeting out everything? Like, isn't his company angry with him for revealing all these secrets? Or is it just like, you know, him making up some things and they don't really care? So like definitely worth considering. Like sometimes I see like developers tweet like, oh, I am working on a secret thing. I cannot say anything about it, but like, it's going to be so cool. And then they usually don't tell you like, it's going to come out in a few months now. And just like, just FYI, like they don't usually like leak things to Twitter like that. So It is kind of suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I find the tweets interesting, because like they're vague enough to where I can see this guy not getting in trouble for it, because it is him being like, man, PlayStation has some bangers coming out. But I feel like even that for what we know about PlayStation as a company, even that might be like pushing it a bit in terms of what you're allowed to get away with and saying on Twitter if you work at PlayStation. But yeah, like in terms of Last of Us remake, right? Like, I want to be excited for that, but also I'm still in a place where I feel like Last of Us 1 is very playable, especially playing the remastered version that they put out on PS4. And there are so many other games that I would have asked for a remake for. Like, I would have asked for Uncharted 1 remake. I would have asked for, like, even the original 3 Uncharted for PS3, right? Like, I maybe would have asked for those, right? Or I would have asked for plenty of other PlayStation games that feel like they could use more of that polishing that Last of Us 1 kind of already has, because I know it's not recent. It was 2013 when it originally came out, but it's had opportunities to get polished up, and it doesn't feel like that old of a game. The thing that does excite me about it is, like, hey, if you take Last of Us 1 and make it look like Last of Us 2, because Last of Us 2 was a big jump. Last of Us 2 did look gorgeous. It ran gorgeous. It played amazingly. I think there's something there, and I think that is hype. But I don't know. I'm in a weird middle spot with it.
Yeah, no, I think I get what you're saying. I'd be more excited for like a sequel, which would, I mean, like a third entry in the franchise, which would probably take more years to come. But like a remake for me would be, the appeal of that is like, because I have a PlayStation 5 and like have like a new controller, I can like see like feel new vibrations probably, and like have a different experience with the graphics. I think when it comes to like, for me, like catching up with this like massive backlog of the past few decades, when I play like an older game, I'm like, oh, it does look kind of janky, and like you can see a difference in the quality. Sometimes I'm like, this puts me off. Like I was playing Psychonauts, the original, and I was like, this looks like it's from 2005. It's kind of hard to endure. So I think the remake would be fun for those reasons.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, right? Like, is this game that is not announced, is that really going to come out this fall, right? Like PlayStation, when it comes to big titles, and the Last of Us remake, I think would count as a, hey, this is a big first party title. If that is a 2022 release, how close to it are we going to get the actual announcement of it? Like, is PlayStation, I don't think, are known for being like, hey, we have a big first party game and we're announcing it in July and it's out in September. Like, that's not how PlayStation operates of games of this scale, right? Like, they want to market, they want to build up. And so to the question of like, what's the latest they announce it? It's weird because they don't do E3 anymore. Cause I would say, all right, I can see June for like a November release date, but that doesn't necessarily line up with what PlayStation does, unless they do an impromptu, like, hey, we're doing another PlayStation showcase like we've done for the last few falls, and we're doing one in June, like we did for the PS5 original reveal. I think that could line up, but also I think they only do that if they have a lot to say. And I don't know how much PlayStation has to say about like the immediate future, right? Like, we got God of War Ragnarok. Is that going to be 2022? You know, we have to like wait and see on that one, but like, I don't necessarily believe it anymore. Could you just wait till the fall to like go over like, hey, all right, cool. It's fall. Here's your PlayStation Showcase. God of War Ragnarok is still coming out. Here's a new trailer and it's coming out spring. Here's the announcement for Last of Us Remake coming out. They put 2023 on it, let's say, because the show's not coming out till 2023. Here's more info about Wolverine. Here's more info about Spider-Man 2. Here's what Bend is working on, right? Here's the next Sucker Punch game. There's a lot that they have to talk about, but nothing in the near future, aside from this theoretical rumored Last of Us Remake game that is very hard to believe that it's going to come out in fall. Not impossible, but for me, just very hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, given all that you're saying, like, it really doesn't sound like they have enough to make a state of play or like make a big announcement. I think instead of E3, there could be like the Summer Games Fest with like Jeff Keighley. Maybe they would do like a smaller announcement on that scale. But I think like if you look at like Life is Strange, the kind of like the remastered versions that came out last year, they were delayed, I believe, like by at least a month. So even that was like they announced like Square Enix announced that was happening, and then they just like delayed the game a little bit. I don't know, like Sony hasn't said anything at this point. It's already April and I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm gonna give it till June. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility we have a June event for PlayStation, or like an early summer event, maybe like a late May event for PlayStation, where it is them talking about some of the cool stuff they have coming up. But it just doesn't align as much with history. But I'm down to throw out that like history always is gospel, right? Like if they came through and they did it and they were like, hey, Last of Us Remake is going to be the star this fall and God of War Ragnarok gets delayed, or somehow God of War Ragnarok makes it this fall, that's gonna be a banger fall. That's gonna be an incredible fall, and that's gonna make for an incredible year, because we already had like Horizon, Gran Turismo, and other stuff for PlayStation. And so we're gonna wait and see place. I'm gonna wait and see. I'm excited for it nonetheless, but hey, we'll see. Shannon, before we get into the next news story, I want to let people out there know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Credit Karma. Are you earning credit card rewards? Credit Karma can help you compare your reward options so you can find a card that fits your lifestyle, helping you earn miles or cash back for spending you're gonna do anyway. I've been using Credit Karma for years. It's such an easy way to just keep track of my credit score and make sure that everything is going fantastically with so many great features. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. Comparing cards on Credit Karma is 100% free, and it won't affect your credit score. And best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, helping you apply with more confidence. That is an awesome feature. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. Go to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app to find the card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
Shannon, you recommended just now during the ad break that I turn this to a mukbang, because I showed you the burrito that I have like three bites eaten, that I had to scarf down, or not even scarf down, that I had to like get some bites in before the show because I was running on an empty stomach, and a lot of coconut water. I like bought coconut water the other day, and it's been sitting around. I've been scarfing this thing down.
That's good for hydration, so yeah, cool.
Yeah, we had a thing last week where co-host Janet, she had an amazing looking sandwich that she brought onto the show, and she was like, yeah, during the ad break, I'm gonna scarf this thing down. And I was very, very impressed with her ability to do it. But also she had like a 3-minute ad break versus today's ads, which are like 5.5 seconds. I do not have enough time to scarf down this burrito.
Yeah, I did not prepare like how long the ad break would be. I didn't know my food is in the other room, but I hear you. You should, but I'm saying like mukbangs are so popular. Like, why not turn this into one?
Mukbangs they're popular as video content for sure. And I'm sure the YouTube watchers would be like, hell yeah, eat that burrito. The podcast listeners is where it gets messy. Because the podcast listeners then have to hear me eat, and then they have to hear me talk after eating, and there is like I'm convinced there's like a condition that people have where I don't know if it's a phobia, I don't know what it is, but I think like there's a certain group of people that cannot stand to hear that noise, and I totally get it. Like it's like,
no, that's an
it's like nails on chalkboard.
I think it's like a misophonia. I want to say misophonia. I don't know. Yeah,
somebody in chat said misophonia.
Yeah, misophonia. Yeah.
Oh, you learned anything?
That's a real thing people have, unfortunately.
Here's what I'll say: we have a post show. I might scarf down this burrito during the post show. Okay. I think that's what I might do. Somebody also asked if I microwaved it like I do my waffles. First of all, Yes, but also the rapper said it was okay. No, it was part of the instructions. I got it at Trader Joe's. Okay, it was like, no, microwave fine. For 2.5 minutes. Okay. I was supposed to microwave.
Does your Eggo waffle box tell you to microwave your Eggo waffles, you sick sicko?
You know, I never checked. Here's the thing. A lot of people give me shit about this. I would not be surprised if I went to the freezer, pulled out my Eggo waffles box, looked at it, and it was like, oh, and you can microwave it.
No,
everybody goes crazy because they
says on the box don't microwave them because they'll be soggy, you weirdo.
Only the bottom one.
Wait, so how do you cook your burrito if you don't microwave it?
See, and that's my question. Like, for the person who asked in chat, I'm like, how the fuck do you make your burritos? I assume like what oven? Are they putting them in an oven?
Oh my god! You
like a waffle you put in the toaster, but a burrito you don't put in the toaster. Come on.
Yeah. Like what the fuck? What else am I supposed to do with this burrito?
Pre-made burritos. Yeah. If it says it on the instructions to microwave it, yeah. You could also, I guess, put in the oven if you want to. But like, if you're making a burrito, you know, you're making the meat yourself. You know.
Who has time making the burrito? To make a burrito and put it in the oven?
People are saying air fryer. I would like an air fryer. I do not have an air fryer. I would love
to get
an air fryer.
It'll change your life, Blessing. It'll change
your life. I know. That's what I keep hearing.
I've heard that, yeah.
Shannon, where do you stand on microwaving Eggo waffles?
Oh, yeah. I'm not with you on that one. Damn, I have a toaster for my waffles. That's unfortunate. Yeah, but
also, burrito, I was hoping this would be, like, the thing. Like, the thing that I was hoping you would be, like, the one person that would agree with me that I can, like, use as, like, my argument going forward. But so far, not many people have come to my aid. There's been like 2 people on Twitter that were like, no, you're fine. You're right. And then like 500 people on Twitter that are like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to keep looking for those.
It was when you doubled down on people like wanting to send you a toaster and you were like, even if I had a toaster, I would still microwave these waffles.
Yeah. It's just better. But also like everybody knows that people on Twitter are always right about everything.
It's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Story number 3. We finally have the re-reveal and release date for Sonic Origins. This is from Ash Parrish at The Verge. Before I even get into the story, Shannon, where are you? Are you a Sonic person?
I definitely played them like growing up, but I did not like follow every game.
Okay. Does the Sonic Origins collection excite you? Of course, this is coming with Sonic 1, 2, and 3, Sonic and Knuckles, and Sonic CD.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm going to give this a play, for sure.
Hell yeah. Barry's playing the trailer right now. If you're a video watcher, I'll read through the article again. This is Ash Parrish at The Verge. In the lead-up to Sonic's 31st birthday, Sega has finally revealed the details behind Sonic Origins, a remastered collection of Sonic the Hedgehog 1, 2, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, and Sonic CD. Don't expect straight ports of these Sega classics, though. In addition to remastered visuals updated for today's consoles, Sonic Origins includes new achievements, collectibles, animated shorts, and game modes, putting a fresh pair of sneakers on these old classics. In Sonic Origins, players will be able to choose between playing in Classic Mode or Anniversary Mode. In Classic Mode, players will experience the games in all their original glory and original aspect ratios. Anniversary Mode offers a full-screen experience along with infinite lives, so you won't have to worry about getting repeatedly crushed to death in Chemical Plant Zone, which is a really good reference because Chemical Plant Zone, there's one area of Chemical Plant Zone that'll fuck you up, where you're underwater and the stairs are rotating. It'll always crush you to death. It's the worst. But also Chemical Plant Zone as a whole is the best. Sonic Origins lets you play as Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles throughout all 4 games, giving you an opportunity to beat Metal Sonic as Knuckles or fly through Green Hill Zone as Tails. While Sega has given fans upteen bundles of the first 3 Sonic games, Sonic CD hasn't seen a proper re-release since 2011. Shannon, as you were watching the trailer, because Barry had it playing, like, did that excite you? Did that get you hyped? Because I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, let's fucking go.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. And this is another franchise that also has a movie coming out. So it's like, definitely, yeah. Like...
Did you see the Sonic 2 movie?
No, actually, I don't think I've seen that one, but I'm definitely seeing the one that's coming.
The first
one. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with Idris Elba. Yeah. But yeah, I think that the game is like, I was playing it on like the Sega Genesis, like the re-release console, and like, I just like keep dying over and over, so I definitely need an Infinite Lives mode if possible.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think the Infinite Lives mode is a very welcome addition, especially for like me who I want to go through these games. I want to play this collection, but I also don't want to go through the thing of getting game overs and getting sent back and like having to go through the struggle. There are too many games for that, and also this is coming out in late June. They had the date. Did I not include the date? I'm gonna find the date for new dates. But it's coming out late June.
June 23rd.
June 23rd. Thank you so much, Barrett. It's coming out June 23rd. And that is also like, that's like, a, I think a week or so, maybe a few weeks after The Quarry. And then also that same week is DNF Duel. And then also the Capcom Fighting Game Collection. Like, for me, there's a lot going on in June. That is a meat-ass June right there. And so, like, I want to be able to play this at my leisure and kind of go through it and not, like, have to struggle that much with it. Watching the trailer, graphically, I love how it looks. I love the widescreen. I love the... It looks like it is remastered, which is great. When they first announced this, I knew this wasn't going to happen, and I didn't even want to speak it, like, outwardly, because I didn't want to, like, put the idea out there for other people to then get disappointed. I was wanting it to be in the art style of Sonic Mania, but I also know that it would be a lot of work for Sega that might not be worth the amount of money that like they're gonna make anyway, just remastering it and making it look a little bit prettier than it did before. But man, like the dream scenario would have been like Sonic Mania-fy all of the classic Sonic games and put it out as a collection. That would have been off the chain. But regardless, I'm still excited for what this is. I think it's a cool collection. The one thing with it though is as they put out this re-reveal of Sonic Origins, the monkey's paw curled. Barrett, you can pull up the graphic that they put out with this announcement that explains the different versions of the game. So you can get the standard edition. There's also a Start Dash Pack, Premium Pack, Classic Music Pack, and then the Digital Deluxe Edition. They committed the cardinal sin, which is they put out a graph explaining the features that come with each version, and the graph is confusing and it's bad, right? And so, like, to break it down for people, in the standard edition, of course, you get the main game, obviously. The Start Dash Pack, you get 100 bonus coins, Mirror Mode unlocked, and then Letterbox Background. With the Premium Fun Pack, you get Hard Missions, 11 in total, Letterbox Backgrounds, 10 designs, character animations on the main menu, camera controls over the main menu islands, and then character animations during music islands. And then with the Classic Music Pack, you get additional music tracks from the Mega Drive / Genesis titles. And then you have the Digital Deluxe Edition, which comes with all the stuff I listed previously, except for the stuff in the Start Dash Pack, because the Start Dash Pack only comes when you pre-order the main game or the digital deluxe edition. It is batshit insane how convoluted this is.
Yeah, this is very confusing. I mean, even though you've explained it to me, I still don't really fully understand. So am I supposed to like buy additional packs? Otherwise, I can't get everything.
If you want everything, if you want absolutely everything, you have to pre-order the digital deluxe edition. That'll get you everything. If you pre-order the Digital Deluxe Edition, you'll miss out on the 100 bonus coins and the Mirror Mode unlocked and the letterboxed background. But you get everything else in the Deluxe Edition. If you just want the more music, you can get the Classic Music Pack. And then if you want just a random smattering of things for some reason, you can get the Premium Fun Pack. But why get the Premium Fun Pack when you can just get the Digital Deluxe Edition?
Right.
It's dumb. It's really dumb. Yeah, how do you tend to feel? Like, why do companies do this, right? Like, why do you do, like, the five different editions that get you, like, the smattering of different features?
I've definitely seen this before, and, like, it's always been presented in a confusing way. Like, I was playing Lost Ark for a while, and, like, Lost Ark has, like, five different packs you can buy, and then each of them are progressively better, and then nobody bought the, like, the beginner ones. They only bought, like, the most expensive $100 one with everything in it, just like you're saying. Like, the digital deluxe version seems like the best version of this game, of, like, all the things that you want. I don't know why companies do this. I think it's like, oh, I guess this chart will help you understand it better. Oh, it doesn't? It confuses you more? Well, I try. My bad. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bummer because, like, I think everything else with this Sonic Origins release has been very clean, right? They announced it again last year. They're doing the reveal now, and they're like, hey, it's out June 20th, or June 21st. It's out later June, and it has all the things you want, right? Like, it's such a clean release, but because it's Sonic the Hedgehog, they have to get something wrong. Like, there's always something with Sonic the Hedgehog that they have to fuck up. But, like, it's not the end of the world. It's just, man, why? Like, just get rid of the premium thing, keep the digital deluxe edition, and include everything in the digital deluxe edition, right? Don't make it hey, if you don't get it on time, you're going to miss out. Like, just give me everything on the digital deluxe. But right. I digress. It's Sonic. You deal with it and you play the games. But yeah, I am looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Story number four, I got a little PlayStation update for you. This comes from PlayStation on Twitter, at PlayStation on Twitter. PC players can now update their DualSense wireless controller with the latest firmware from Windows 11 and select Windows 10 devices without connecting to a PS5. So there you go. If you want to update your controller, boom. Greg Miller, do you have anything to say about that?
No, I mean, these PC people should have been left out to die. I don't, you know what I mean? Turn on your PlayStation 5, update it there. That's what you do. I'm here for the real news, the real juice. How are you guys? Hey, first off, how's everybody doing? Sorry. Hey, Shannon. I'm Greg. Pleasure to meet you.
Hey, Greg. Nice to meet you. That's just terrible. You're shitting on PC gamers immediately.
I really appreciate all the PC gamers who beta test everything for us before it comes to consoles. That's great. But if they're like, oh, my PlayStation 5 is just so far away from my DualSense, get out of here. You know what I mean? Or even worse, they're buying the DualSense without a PlayStation 5.
I was going to say, those people exist.
You don't belong, that's all right? True. You for years enjoyed your Xbox controllers. Go do that. And you know when maybe when Valve makes you a PC controller, you can. Why am I here talking about this? There's breaking news. There's breaking news. There's so much breaking news. It's all coming from about Meta. It's all about the Quest 2. You seen any of this, Blessing?
No, he never explained it to me. Slack. He never
Number one, ladies and gentlemen, Moss Book 2 has been confirmed to be coming to Quest 2. That's going to be coming this summer. So that's great. We don't have to worry. You don't have to put on your PlayStation VR anymore. We all admit it. I tried it. No, it's no good. But more importantly, I'll read the press release to you, Blessing and Shannon, all right?
Read it to me.
Okay.
Sony Pictures Virtual Reality is thrilled to reveal a new Ghostbusters virtual reality game at the MetaQuest Gaming Showcase published by SPVR and developed by the award-winning VR studio InDreams. Strap on your Proton Pack in Quest 2 and step into the world of Ghostbusters in an immersive virtual reality. Now, Shannon, we don't know each other well at all. I like Ghostbusters a lot. Maybe you know that. Maybe you don't. Blessing, you know that I like Ghostbusters a lot. You know that I like VR a lot, especially on the Quest 2. Listen to this next sentence, all right?
Okay.
Run your Ghostbusters HQ in a new city, San Francisco, and solve a deep mystery across a new chapter in Ghostbusters universe. Track, blast, and trap ghosts in gripping encounters by wielding iconic equipment. Go it alone or as a team with up to 3 friends in co-op in an extensive and engrossing campaign. Continue the Ghostbusters legacy, protect the city from fiendish ghouls, and experience all the humor and frights from this beloved franchise.
Greg, how do you feel?
How do I feel, Blessing? Cloud 9. Are you kidding me right now? Just when I thought this year couldn't get better, minus my dog dying, this year couldn't get better with the announcement of a Ghostbusters game from Ilphonic that I'm in. They're going to put out a Ghostbusters VR game on the Quest 2, and they're going to do this. And then a lot of people, when I was tweeting about this, were like, Greg, why wouldn't this come to PlayStation VR? Of course, you know, Sony Pictures, Sony Computer Entertainment, all this different. Maybe, don't worry about that. Maybe this will be for PlayStation VR 2. PlayStation VR 2, they come out, they give the big press conference, they announce a bunch of games. I would bet dollars to donuts that's where this would show up. But I'm not even going to worry about it. I got the Quest 2. You got the Quest 2, Blessing. You're playing this whole thing with me. You're getting out of this. You're locked in.
Is it multiplayer?
What the? Did you not listen to what I said? What I read?
I heard HQ, San Francisco.
Go it alone, or as a team with up to 3 friends in co-op, an extensive and engrossing campaign. We're gonna continue the Ghostbusters legacy. You and me, Shannon, you're invited too. Barrett, you're invited.
Thank you. I'm afraid to admit that I actually also have a Quest 2. It's kind of that game is funny. Look at the ghost with like the VR headset on. Like that's a funny logo.
It was a great logo's fantastic there. Greg, do you not feel like there's like an oversaturation of Ghostbusters games right now? Like, how many multiplayer Ghostbusters games do we need? You know what I mean, Greg?
Now, Blessing, you know, you're of course saying that, and I'm sure a lot of people expect me to be the character of Greg Miller and like do something crazy or say something. Yeah, like what are you talking about? No, I do think it's actually really weird. I do think it's really a bizarre choice to have 2 games that sound very similar of, hey, team up with your 3 friends or go it alone and fight the ghost. Like the Ilphonic one, here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Knowing nothing about this other than the press release and the teaser trailer they have put out, which is all cinematic, it would strike me that the Quest 2 Ghostbusters game isn't imminent, that it's more far away. Whereas the Ilphonic game we've played, they've said 2022. I bet they hit 2022. Like, I think that game we're going to be playing more sooner rather than later. Whereas the fact that this is Ghostbusters VR and then parentheses working title, like, I feel like this is an announcement, but maybe not. This is more maybe a 2023 game. Or,
to be clear, they've not said year at all.
They have not said a year at all. No, there's nothing on that. Gotcha. We'll be unveiling more in the coming months, so keep your PKE meters tuned to blah, blah, blah. But they don't talk about when it's coming out. So I think this is a little bit further out, and this is just an announcement. So I do think it's, you know, unfortunate timing. You know, GDC is when Ilphonic's Ghostbusters game, Spirits Unleashed, just had its big coming out party. Then you have this. But then also, we're probably getting into the weeds as we do on Kind of Funny Games Daily because we are a different audience than the people who probably... There's plenty of people I know that just have a Quest. I was talking to somebody at the farmer's market the other day that
so
they only have
the
Quest.
One.
No, this is Quest 2 is what they said.
I don't have a Quest 2. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, see, well, I'll get you one. I'll buy you one. If you're going to play Ghostbusters with me, I'll get you a Quest 2. Don't worry about that.
If you give me a Quest 2, yeah, I'll play Ghostbusters with you. I'll do it.
Hell yeah. All right, cool. So yeah, I think we got some time. I do think it's interesting to put them out on top of each other. But then I also think that clearly the Ilphonic game will be bigger because it's everywhere. And, you know, VR is still a small emerging market. And I think that for the Quest 2 audience, this will be cool. And for Ghostbuster fans like me, it'll be cool.
So this, again, this doesn't have a release date. Do you think there's any chance that this is a PlayStation VR 2 launch title?
I think there's a chance of that for sure. I think, you know, I think it's PlayStation VR 2 and when it's coming out and then also what's coming to it, obviously still a big question mark, right? Like, we know Horizon Call of the Mountain pretty much. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's a targeted announcement from PlayStation. So yeah, I would expect, like I said, that when they do their PlayStation VR 2 showcase and give you a date and announce a whole bunch of games to be excited for, I would imagine you get this trailer for this there.
Yeah, because I'm pulling two directions of it being like, I had to look up InDreams because I didn't know if InDreams was like owned by Meta or anything like that, and I don't think they are. It doesn't look like that. Meta makes the announcement, right? But then also Sony Pictures, and Sony Pictures has that connection to Sony Interactive Entertainment, right?
For sure.
Imagine that there would be some back and forth there, especially when you've had cross promotion go on in Dreams, where they did the Dreams Ghostbusters game. Like, Sony isn't shy about the department speaking like that. And I would figure, like, if you have a Sony Pictures game, like, might as well, if things line up, have that be a thing of, hey, put it out day and date on PlayStation VR.
I figure, yeah, it's just, I think you have a couple different things happening where, of course, this was unveiled at the Meta event. Like, in the same way Moss happened today, they're doing a Meta event, so you're not going to talk about a different platform up there. And again, what do you have to gain right now by talking about a different platform when the platform's not ready? It's not like you can go out and buy PlayStation VR 2 yet.
Yeah, maybe like a timed exclusive for Meta, and Meta gets it first, and then it goes to PS.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point, too, because like, I would figure if it was a thing that PlayStation wanted to promote as a PlayStation launch style for PSVR, I would figure that you would wait for whenever PSVR has their event and then reveal it there as opposed to a Meta thing.
Yeah.
But maybe they just wanted to reveal it earlier. Maybe the timing worked out because it'll be coming to both platforms. Or maybe it is just a Meta Quest 2 thing.
Now, in the chat, Charles Jacobson says, I'm still baffled by Greg talking so much PC shit and then being stoked about a game coming to the MetaQuest 2. That's because it's all a bit, ladies and gentlemen. Play games wherever you want them. I'll play Ghostbusters wherever you put them. Thank you and good night, Shannon.
But just not on PC. Just not on PC.
You play games wherever you want as long as it's not on one of those fucking Excel machines that is the PC.
Yeah. Until we get our Steam Decks.
Which I gotta check. Wow. I've not gotten an update on my Steam Deck.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I haven't either. They said they're shipping more out, but I don't know where mine is.
Shannon, let's round out the Roper Report with story number 5. Nintendo of America receives labor complaints for alleged NLRA violations. I'm going to pull from Jeffrey Russo at gamesindustry.biz. Shannon, right before we started the show, you alerted me to the fact that you also have an article up about this, and so I want to talk about that in a second. But to read from Jeffrey's article, last Friday, a labor complaint was filed against Nintendo of America, which alleges that it had violated the National Labor Relations Act. As reported by Axios, a contractor's case states that the publisher and hiring company, Aston Carter, were involved in actions such as threats, retaliation, and surveillance. The suit was filed in Washington, the same state in which Nintendo of America operates. The NLRA labor law states, quote, the NLRA protects workplace democracy by providing employees at private sector workplaces the fundamental right to seek better working conditions and designation of representation without fear of retaliation, end quote. That sounded like a rap bar. Those are a lot of rhyming words there that flowed well together. Shout out to the writer here. The case listing of allegations against Nintendo of America and Aston Carter include discharge, including layoff and refusal to hire, coercive statements being threats, promises of benefits, etc., concerted activities being retaliation, discharge, or discipline, and then coercive action. They put coercive here twice. Oh, coercive statements and coercive actions. That's what it is. And coercive actions involves surveillance, etc. Shannon, you also had a new story up about this. Is there anything you want to add to this story?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would just like shout myself out and say that I rephrase this differently so that it makes more sense. Basically, Nintendo of America and Aston Carter, which is like this recruiting firm that they use to hire contractors for Nintendo, basically both of them are being accused by this anonymous worker who said that, like, oh, I've been discharged. I've been like either laid off or like just like left the company because of the union activities that they did, which they were trying to join or support a union. And they were also trying to like talk about wages, and they then were surveilled by Nintendo or Aston Carter. So it's like not exactly clear like which it's like a broad list of accusations, and it's not clear like exactly what happened yet, because those details are not out yet, and we don't know who it is who's bringing out these charges. And Nintendo and Ashton Carter did not respond to comment, even though I gave Nintendo about a day and a half to reply. So that's about all we know. It's a very short story right now, but basically it's like Nintendo's first time being publicly accused of a labor complaint. So like that's significant.
That's the thing that I think really stuck out to me in the story, is that Nintendo, I think, is usually known to be buttoned up when it comes to this type of thing, right? Like they're not the one, they're usually not in the Activision camp or the Ubisoft camp, or like the camp of being the ones that are kind of known for workplace toxicity or workplace harassment or other things. Nintendo usually doesn't get called out in this way. Is that a thing that surprises you as you see the story?
Yeah, I would say that Nintendo like does a good job of like keeping its image very clean, but just like having, you know, done investigative journalism across games industry, I know that people have said things about any company. So like there's a single company that can escape all of this, just like depending on what happened inside the company and like how managers are treating them. A lot of people have raised issues across the board, across the industry. This is just the first time that we've heard about it from Nintendo. So I don't know what else there is with this company, and at least like they should respond so that we can then cover them again. But so far they've just like kept quiet. So we really don't know.
Yeah, and to be, and like to point out too, right, for folks, right, like video games companies are big, right? Like Nintendo has hundreds of employees, right? Like Activision, all these companies have hundreds of employees, and they're broken down into departments, right? There's multiple managers. There's so many different teams that work for these companies, and like even you'll hear people, the same people, talk about the same company in different ways depending on their experience, right? Where like there are plenty of people I know who work at Ubisoft that totally love their experience at Ubisoft, but then there are other people that are like, no man, my manager sucks, like the like X, Y, and Z thing happened that was not okay, right? I'm sure that that expands like Activision, that expands pretty much any company. And like Nintendo, you know, for as much good as we hear and for as much like clean as their reputation has been, right, like that also doesn't discount from them having issues, right, that might spawn down to, hey, this team that at Nintendo that is like way you kind of had to dig down into, right, like this team sucks and they mismanaged employees in this way, right? Like a lot of the stuff is stuff that gets lost once it filters its way to the top, because a lot of stuff can be hidden. And so yeah, when it like when any of these stories comes up, it's the thing of glad people are talking about it. You know, if this, if all this is accurate, I hope people are dealing with it. I hope it gets dealt with in the right way. And I hope that like the workers prevail and are able to fight and like gain a better work environment and work in a place where they feel safe and they feel like they're thriving.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, even with Activision Blizzard, there have been people who work on like the Call of Duty team or like World of Warcraft, and they're like, oh, I actually love my manager. I'm having a great time here. Even when all this stuff is happening, it's like, they're like, well, there are like bad apples. There are certain like systems in place that are not supporting us, and it's like largely not good, but like maybe on this team itself and this manager, I like this person, I can respect them. So it's just like what you're saying, like the companies are huge. And the other thing I will add is like, for this story, NORB, basically the Labor Relations Board is investigating Nintendo and Ashton Carter now. And then we'll see what turns up, but their investigation will take like 7 to 14 weeks. So we'll see.
Gotcha. Yeah. And to answer, there was one person in chat that was like, well, we don't hear about Nintendo because they're located in Japan. This is specifically about Nintendo of America, right? Like this is us, them talking about the US office, which is as well pretty big. And so I'm sure we'll hear more about this soon. But for now, Shannon, I'm very excited to see how that Ghostbusters game ends up. Is that going to be a PSVR 2 title? Hey, we'll have to wait and see. But for now, if I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah. Out today. You did a great job, by the way. I was like trying to make the transition more obvious because like I was like explaining it to you before the show, and I was like, man, hopefully I can nail this because I'm gonna have to reference a labor story. But you picked up on it well. You got it. You absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out today, we got Glover for the PC, Star Wars The Force Unleashed for the Switch, Aircraft Carrier Survival for PC, Mythforce for PC, and then Postal 4 for PC. New dates for you, Digimon Survive will launch July 28th on Switch, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Steam. Cotton Fantasy releases on PS4 and Switch on May 20th, and then Katie and Meowland comes to Nintendo Switch on April 28th. 2022. I'm sorry. I think I butchered that name. Katie in Meow Meow Land. It's two meows, not one meow. Katie in Meow Meow Land comes to Nintendo Switch April 28th. Shannon, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Y'all got to stop writing in about the waffles thing, all right? That's not factually wrong. These are factual wrongs.
But it's morally wrong.
Oh no.
Jay Fulcrum says out today Prowler Pack Challenge Series on Fortnite via Battle Pass. Don't forget to use code Kinda Funny when buying V-Bucks for the Battle Pass. And then Coley D says the Billie Eilish song in the Gears trailer was actually Bury a Friend.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Bury a Friend. That's right. Well, it was still really dramatic and like compelled me to play the game and then realize that it was not even in the game. So
that's par for the course for Gears trailers, right? Because like that first Gears of War trailer, oh man, we're already past kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, so I can't even do like the you're wrong thing. The first Gears of War trailer had like a famous like song. I forget which one. Mad World, that's what it was. It was the Mad World trailer. Did the game ever have Mad World? Because like people knew, like that trailer was a moment for people. People were like, yo, this is an amazing trailer, right? Yeah. Did the game ever have that?
I don't think so, but
somebody in chat says no, somebody in chat says yes, and so definitively that's 50-50.
Not sure.
Siegfried says no, it did in Gears 2, says Overly Jumpy. Gears 3, says DJ Bradchill. Okay, people are saying Gears 3. Confirmation, a lot of people in chat are saying Gears 3 had the song, and so
okay, boom. So you have to keep playing them until you hit Mad World, then you're like,
yeah, you gotta wait three Gears games before you get the Billie Eilish song in there.
All right, I gotta get to like Gears 8. I gotta keep waiting. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I gotta do.
Okay. Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are Greg and Tim. Before we wrap up, Shannon Lau, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find your work?
Oh, thanks for having me, Blessing. I'm on Twitter, Shannon_Lau, LIAO. Or you can just go on launcher.gg, which is literally our site for the Washington Post video games section. And then, you know, we just post articles every week.
Hell yeah. Yeah, everybody go check out Shannon's articles. You had the article for today's story of the Nintendo stuff going on. You also had the Turning Red director.
Yeah.
You had an article about her and how she plays video games. I forget if it was a specific video game or not.
She plays so many video games. She was like, wait, hold on. I'm not a gamer, but I want to play Elden Ring. I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, Redemption 2. Like, honestly, you should probably get her on this show. But yeah, she just like plays almost every game. And I was like, you are a gamer. What are you discrediting yourself?
Heck yeah. Everybody, follow Shannon. Check out Shannon's work. And of course, if you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike and the crew playing some Myth Force, which looks really cool. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.